Hello and welcome to Rule of Carnage. This is a podcast where we talk about designing better miniature games. The people whose voices you will hear today are Mike Hutchinson, designer of such games as Gaslands and Mike Hutchinson's Hobgoblin. And here we have Glenn, author of Puke Apocalypse, assistant designer and developer on a range of my miniature games, and a host of wonderful card and board games, including SSO. And its continued and its continued voyages into horror-filled space. We, from that list, you can tell, write a lot of games, but that list of games is not anywhere near the full list of games that we write because both of us are quite compulsive prototypers. We'll come up with an idea, a little idea will catch us, and then what we'll do is, as we've talked about on some previous episodes, sort of go through a process of scratching it out and then maybe fleshing it out. But quite often getting to a point where we're pushing some miniatures around on the table and maybe making some notes and maybe even writing a couple of page of scrappy rules for it. For one reason or another, I've been doing that a lot over the last 8 weeks. And because of my change from sort of part-time side hustle game designer into full-time games designer, I'm beset with this sense that maybe these prototypes could each one of them become a game in their own right, and that could be the next thing that I publish, and blah 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 blah. But of course, there's absolutely dozens of these ideas, and I don't have time to publish them all. And so, as I've been going through these prototypes, reopening archived prototypes, coming up with new things, a process has been sort of going, I've been going through a process where I've been trying to figure out whether to promote that prototype to a project that I am actually going to work on and is probably a game that I should make, versus some prototypes which end up being digested as sort of biomass into other projects. And sometimes I have specifically done prototypes in order to digest a little design problem within a larger project that I'm working on. But quite recently, I have discovered sort of almost accidentally that actually a game that I was writing, a prototype that I was considering, was actually me turning over a design challenge that was much more relevant to another project that I was, a larger project that I was working on. So I guess I want to talk about that, partly because as this podcast is often a chance for us to sort of introspect on our own processes, I think I have been poorer than I would like over the last couple of years in recognizing the difference between digestible biomass and potential next project. And so I guess I wanted to figure out how we go about identifying those things and kind of what the difference in approach to some of those is.
So what's your approach on
Yeah,
something?
no, I can carry on this one if you
No,
like. Go ahead.
I'm just pondering it, because as you're saying that, I'm thinking through my own process, because we do, despite appearances, prepare for these conversations. And Mike sort of suggested this idea, and I'm sort of wondering about how it happens in my process. I literally didn't understand like the words he used first time when he sort of approached me with this. And I think thinking about it, I'm one of my problems, and one of the things that I get from like having a community and having collaboration, is that I'm absolutely terrible at coming back to a thing if I think the question has been answered for me. And even if somebody else goes in and like makes one like typo comment, then that allows me to get back onto it and go back through it and re-question it. And that's why I've built up my process of like needing to leave things so that I forget about them enough to come back and re-question myself. And the truth of the matter is, for me, is that I'm quite bad at like writing a thing, not being able to figure out certain answers, and then just putting it on the stack rather than like sort of running it through and deciding what to do with it. And then quite often coming back to them and just being like, I don't know what I was thinking here, and then stripping it for parts. And I think possibly for me, it's more of a sort of like, it's not a prototype that gets like, or a small thing that gets redigested. That's not something I've ever like found the capacity to do. It's something I thought was going to be a full game, and maybe it's part of the same process.
I want to know what broken down for parts means in this case, because I think that might be where the similarity is.
I mean, generally, it's a process of like, first of all, what was the thing that made me start writing this in the first place?
Yep.
And if it's still there and it makes sense, okay, let's try and track back to the last time I liked it and try and figure out what it's actually saying, what it's sort of trying to be. Is there a different setting that works better? Does it need a new sort of setting of mechanics around it? And quite often it's like, it's just not there. And I have no idea what it was ever motivated me in the first place. There seems to be nothing in here anymore. But that sort of mechanic was good and said a thing that can be pulled out and put back into the notebook to find a home at a later date. And that one can. That one's just standard sort of, you know, that's just a normal movement phase. I don't need to re-note that down. I've written that 50 times already, but that thing with the dice is actually quite neat. I'll write that down or note down the elements of it until like anything that remains useful or interesting gets rewritten out again and hopefully sits there and finds its way into another design is sort of the process for that, which I assume is sort of what you do. I do find it interesting because before you have said that you've like built entire little mini games to answer, like when you did it for the ABS campaign system, particularly there was that sort of solo spaceship game that you sort of created for that. I find that interesting because it's not.
This is what's fascinating to me is that there is both. It's both absolutely true that there is a deep interlock between theme or subject matter and mechanics, and that alchemy comes from both of those things knotting together. But it's equally true that quite often mechanically similar but thematically distant games are basically the same. And so what I've been discovering is that quite often let me give a couple of recent examples to try and bring to life what I'm trying to communicate here. So I have a habit of like playing video games or watching movies or reading books and getting an idea in my head of like, oh, that's a cool feeling, like that's a cool sensation or a cool action scene or something, and I want to be able to replicate that with miniatures because that's what I love. And I will take something like, so very recently I've been playing this this video game Lethal Company with my brothers, and Lethal Company is a kind of roguelike looting scavenging game where you there's four of you and you or three of you or whatever, and you land on a randomly generated planet and you search for randomly generated loot, and you sometimes get instantly killed by randomly generated monsters. And I was like, oh cool, like let me have a go at that. And one of the things that's fun is that you don't have any weapons, and so the monsters are absolutely deadly, and you know, you're trying to get money to buy equipment to like, you know, oh, I've got a flashlight, so I'm like ever so slightly less likely to die, but still extremely likely to die. So I started writing a miniature game, which could be, you know, oh, here's a cool miniature game. It's like a kind of, you know, it's a bit like sort of like a looting game in Frostgrave, but nobody has any weapons and you're absolutely, you know, it's almost like a non-combat thing. And after writing that and playing it for a couple of evenings, I walked away from it. And then I looked back at it from a distance and was like, oh, there's some really interesting ideas there. If what this prototype is actually doing is asking questions like, hey, Perilous Tales, why do you have loads of guns in it? What would it be like if you had no guns? Or what would it be like if Perilous Tales characters could have guns or not have guns? And what would that mean? And isn't it actually more scary if the monster instant kills you and it's more about running away and tricking it into doing the wrong thing? Like, is that how, you know, genre monsters should behave in Perilous Tales? And that's happened to me multiple times where I've got excited about a mechanical alchemy, and then by chopping the theme off and going, wait a minute, doesn't this fit onto one of the other themes of games I've already got? Then I start to think, oh, crumbs, maybe I'm actually just still working on one of my big games, but I've just been doing it in this little sandbox where I don't have to consider the giant mess that is my own game. I can just consider the little design challenge that I've got at hand, which is what would it be like if all the monsters were random and they instant killed you? Like, how would that work?
I found certainly sometimes that like a thing that I thought was an answer to a thing. Okay, so I mean, a literal example, an actual example is like with Boards and Black Flags, because pirates are like, untrustworthy, lying type people. I wanted sort of a bluffing mechanic in it. And the first place I went was to a card game, a card based mechanic of like putting cards down. But weirdly, it felt like cards had like too much affordance for the resolution system of the game. It wanted the actual resolution of dice roll of like actions to be much punchy and simpler, and wanted to be like a D6 with basically, could be almost a coin flip by and large. And so having cards in there didn't make sense, but there was a neat little like bluffing mechanic that worked quite well and was quite nice. And then, really the obvious thing is the Pirates of the Caribbean has the Delias dice scene in it. The obvious thing is like, okay, you can do bluffing with dice perfectly well, and so there's a little thing dropped in there. And then the sort of the bluffing card-based mechanic gets sort of pulled out, and like, well, this is a perfectly good like spleen that can go somewhere and get like jammed into the next Frankenstein, because a card bluffing mechanic works for multiple games. Obviously, it's a sort of, Wild West is the thing that sort of jumps to mind. But there's lots and lots of things where like card-based bluffing mechanics work and make sense. And like a game I'm sort of running through later stages of prototyping at the moment, when I first thought about doing it, I wanted a set of like custom cards to sort of program the movement of the various characters within it. I went through a few iterations, and it was real, and I realized, okay, custom cards are fiddly and faddy and annoying. There's a nice double-ended thing of doing these cards. That's an interesting idea. That gets put to one side, and then, okay, here's this more interesting thing I can do now with like normal playing cards and adjusting normal playing cards through a campaign system, and building a deck building, but with a normal deck of playing cards at the start of the game. And those, those sort of ideas, I think, evolve across, and some drop out, and it's worth remembering them and sort of storing them up for later. But I think maybe it's a bit more of a sort of clear evolutionary process to me. I don't think I've ever been designing something and gone, aha, this was actually talking to me about this other game. At least not yet, to my knowledge.
I mean, I think like for me, there's a few elements to this practice that I'm trying to be kind of mindful and deliberate about. And one is that I'm building muscles with each one of these prototypes. I'm getting confidence in some other little area of games design where it's like, okay, I haven't really manipulated a deck building mechanic before or a deck construction mechanic before because I've never designed a TCG or anything. So as I'm trying to tackle that specific problem with a game that I'm working on at the moment, I found that one quite tricky, and I haven't gone and done like a standalone prototype that's just about that mechanic. And I probably will do because it's a hard muscle that I it's a difficult thing to do, and it's a muscle that I haven't developed. Whereas, the next time I want to write a solo game from scratch, I'll have like, the work I did on the Doom-inspired Berserker game, the Perilous Tales game, like this recent Hazard Check, like a lot of iterations of me working on like the manipulation of monsters in a single model or a single player team in order to draw on. So I think with every one of these prototypes, there's like an isolated way of building a muscle and exploring a sort of area of the design challenge that then becomes useful, whether or not the specifics of it were useful or not. And then the other is that I think that there's this It's funny because I've ended up in sort of the opposite neurosis to what normally happens, which is when you start out as a game designer, it is quite common to see lots of ideas crammed into a single game because, I have my one game, and so every cool idea that I have, I want to cram into this one game. And we've talked a number of times on this channel about how to sort of sort through and push ideas out, because the best expression of your game is the best expression of your game. It's not the amalgamation of all the best ideas you've ever had. That's not the same thing. And so prototyping is a way of having these standalone prototypes is a way of sort of exorcising a little design demon, where it's like, but what if there was a like dueling dice system where I had to pick like the stances of my characters? And like, that might be terrible for my cyberpunk game, but I'm excited about it, so I'll just build a little knight dueling game, and that can sort of can be like a controlled blast where I can point that creative energy somewhere other than the game that I'm working on, rather than accidentally loading it up. But the risk is that, and where I've ended up is that I end up with all of these ideas for like, well, maybe the next game is insert idea for a game, which is really one cool mechanical idea that doesn't need to exist just to carry that one cool mechanical idea. So I'll give you a specific example because I'm not likely to work on it for another 3 years, but like, you and I have often and secretly thought about cyberpunk games and what's missing from them. And I caught wind of this idea the other month where I was like, well, I really would love the idea of Flux, the card game, where the rules, the fundamentals, like rules of the game are constantly in flux. And I thought that, well, if you were sort of fighting in made up cyberspace, and this would be more like a Netrunner game than a cyberpunk game, wouldn't it be fun if like digital space is constantly being rewritten by the actions of the hackers that are participating in the battle? And so as we're sort of having a cool Neo gun battle, we're also rewriting reality with a sort of flux card-based mechanic. And that's cool, but it's also like, it's only one idea, and then I'd have to write an entire miniature game around it. But actually, if I've already got a miniature game with powerful magic in it, and then I insert that as a potential for as a potential solution to, well, I wanted a sort of, I wanted a sort of breaking through levels of reality using magic rather than using technology, then okay, now it's got a home, and I don't have to write another game. It's a potential sort of cartridge to slot into this sort of hole that was waiting for, like, I want to have, I've already got a game, I've got 80% of the game written, it's just missing the like reality crunching magic. Well, maybe this is the answer. And so I think there's, for me, it's being mindful of this tension between I'm well versed in not cramming all of my ideas into one game, but I may have gone too far in the other direction, and I may be holding back ideas that would be good for one game because I'm trying to be, because it's like, well, that's my cyberpunk game idea. I don't want to futz with that. I don't want to waste that on this other game that I'm already working on.
Yeah, and I guess I did sort of early on when I was getting into doing games design, go, okay, right, I'll do a deck builder that just requires a deck of cards and is a satisfying, effective thing, and it give myself one page to write it. And then like, okay, now let's do a miniatures game where all you need is a handful of dice and a deck of cards, and that's literally it. And it actually is a miniatures game, and it is satisfying and it works. And I wrote out like 30 of those, and it's like, okay, right, now I know I can just do a deck builder. Let's sort of, consider what can you do with a deck builder. And I think it's one of the things that, I see to a certain degree from like very, very early first time designers, where the question that they are trying to answer is, can I write a skirmish game? Just can I write a skirmish game that doesn't instantly fall to pieces? And the answer is almost certainly yes. You can. You probably can.
Well,
And that's
the answer is either yes, or it's actually I don't care enough to bother, which is fine too, because then you can go and figure out something that you do want to do. But like, I agree, it's like the answer to can I write a functioning war game is definitely yes if you care enough to just go through the process of it. And then you have to write 10 more, and eventually there'll be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is like, and it's lovely if you're just doing it like for your own curiosity, or you wanted to like poke a, one of your favorite games and see what happened to it, or just do something for your friends. That's fantastic. Or, you know, just do it and then say to people, look, here it is. Whether you want to like build that up into something and pitch it and offer it to other people, then it's like a bit sort of, okay, well, why care about this game? It's just the thing I would have done if you gave me like the shortest possible time to write down a skirmish game. And by God, there's a few of those that get published, you know, let us be clear. But like if it's just the version of a skirmish game that was my version of a deck builder that I did with literally just a deck of cards to see what the fundamental basic mechanisms of a deck builder are, to go, right, yes, that is deck builder in its sort of most skeletal form. That's nice to know. Those are the minimum things you can get away with. If that's just what you're doing with a skirmish game, then it's like, keep that in your notebook. That's a nice exercise. It's worth doing. Now figure out another question, you know, and another sort of interesting sort of bit. I know what you mean, that you don't want to sort of, you never want to shove everything into a game, and it is, I guess, the learning point there is possibly how much innovation is the right amount of innovation. That's a question that's sort of come up, and I have heard very wise and intelligent people say that 3 bits of innovation is the correct number of bits of innovation, no more, no less. I think there's probably a little bit more wriggle room on that, but you don't want like 10 innovative things in a game. That's like homework at that point. You don't want none. It's just figuring out what the innovations are that fit together in a jigsaw puzzle to tell the story of a particular like setting, genre, world, and place. Because I definitely think it's true that it feels something like sometimes like every mechanic should and must be the idealized platonic form of a particular story or setting or thing of that nature, which is very rarely true. I mean, as much as these games are often emergent, the rule sets are often emergent. It's very often like, okay, you know, it's kind of nothing until we get to like the fourth layer, and
This
then.
is what I find so fascinating when I'm bringing ideas from prototypes back into my games, or I'm taking a game that I've already written or a prototype that I've already written and re-theming it, which is sort of the same process, just from a different end of the telescope, which is I almost always change the rules because something about it doesn't quite work for the individual flavor. So the very specific example of this recently is I took the rules of Mystic Skies, which is about a wizard whizzing around on a magic carpet summoning units to destroy the other guy's tower, and I turned it into, that's a fantasy game, by the way, I turned it into a very slightly different fantasy game where the haunted warriors of Rotvalden from Hobgoblin are summoning units and attacking each other's towers, but they're not magic carpet wizards. And also, the whole thing is just ever so slightly different in my brain. And so, I wanted to change rules because the alchemy wasn't quite right. It wasn't quite clicking with the way that the models were supposed to behave, or the way that the warbands were supposed to be built, or the way that the spells sort of were supposed to feel in the background. So, I think that whilst I also don't think that every mechanic has its platonic ideal home, I do think, for me at least, like the alchemy, which is mechanics and flavor text and rule names coming together into your brain to summon up a sensation of a game, a game feel in your mouth, is absolutely unique in every situation. And even when I translate prototypes from one location to another, they always need some modification in order for them to feel that there's tissue acceptance.
I mean, I guess what I often find is that if I'm working on a game and there's a mechanic that doesn't fit in that game quite the way I wanted it to, and it gets pulled out, there is like that's a two-way process, because as much as this mechanic didn't fit in that game, it's like, well, why didn't it
by not fitting, it tells you something about it.
Yeah, because it didn't fit, that means it has its own identity of some kind. You know, it's not like, okay, well, this mechanic was basically the beige version of doing shooting. It can't not fit. It's like soup.
Right.
Whereas if you're like, this literally doesn't fit, I have to pull this thing, this like spinal cord out, then it's like, well, then it must have its own identity. And you sort of, you put it down over there, and it more often than it getting picked up and jammed into something else, you pick it up and you look at it and you go, well, okay, well, what will fit around you?
Yeah.
Why weren't you working? Why wouldn't you be art, you bastard? But you know, what bits can I plug onto you? And very often the fact that it was being an ornery, you know, little sod in the thing you were working on says to you, well, okay, it's got something then. And I guess for me, it's like, if the main game has got something, because it's like so often we've like come to each other with game ideas and things, and you playtest something, and at the end of it, you just sort of go, is there something there? Because that's the question. It's always like, I don't know. Is there something there? Is this worth bothering with? And it's like, yeah, that's you know, worth bothering. And often people on the Discord put an idea up, and I try and just say, it's like, I don't know how to fix that. I don't know where it's going or what it is, but there's a thing there, and do it. That's worth doing. That's worth the effort. And if you pull out so many bits from a game that like the floppy skin sack that's left isn't worth having, you know, and you chuck that out, but then hopefully you've got enough leftover bits to make a new monster from.
I mean, I think the idea of like that process of having a mechanic, which to me feels like a sort of key. It's like an iron key, and I try and fit it in the lock that is my current game, and it doesn't fit, but that's because it fits somewhere else, and I just don't know if the thing, if I have the lock. This is also like, because I spend a lot of time, you know, I have a lot of game ideas that come from, not from mechanical ideas, they come from, you know, a visual image, or you know, some kind of nebulous idea. And part of the experience and the muscle that I'm trying to build through endlessly prototyping is pattern matching between what some of these sensations feel like, and therefore getting more efficient and more quick at identifying what the set of sort of game ingredients that will add up to it. So that, you know, as we were struggling to come up with an idea for like how we would play with our 80s Chaos Warhammer miniatures, and then it started to occur to me, like, hey, I've got, like, it needs to be multiplayer, it needs to feel chaotic, we want it to be quite kind of crunchy and video gamey and head-to-head, but it needs to be really accepting of all kinds of miniatures. I was like, I've got a thing that feels like that. It's not exactly the same, but I know how that feels, and so I know that that's going to be something. And the sort of opposite of this is like me, I keep holding up X-Wing miniatures and going, you and me can play some kind of Gaslands in space, pirates and privateers, gun running, you know, looting and scooting, and I know how this feels, I just haven't had the time to sort of figure out what it is about, you know, some of the things that I've learned that you and I can have a conversation and we can play a fun game. But I think that part of this prototyping is also figuring out what locks look like so that you can just more quickly pull the right key out.
Yeah, and you know, as of everything, it's sort of you get better as you go on, and I enjoy seeing like people's first sort of, you know, versions and ideas of games. And it is funny getting to a point where it's like there are so many things that I can just do in my sleep for like writing a skirmish game and a movement system and a shooting system. And then figuring out the bits that you need more practice on. Yeah, I guess, yeah, the idea of like figuring out the phenomenology of your own creative process is certainly an interesting and worthwhile thing, I think, for people to do.
Well, I think this gets filed under the philosophical, somewhat aimless conversations. But I think, like, if there is if there is a point that I was trying to make here, at least from my perspective, it's I am going to write, I'm going to continue to write a lot of prototypes, and I'm going to focus on keeping those prototypes sort of small and contained to the ideas that are exciting about that prototype, and not sort of worry myself about trying to write an entire full game around it. Like you said, like take shortcuts where they're available. Like it just uses the shooting system that I normally use or whatever. But so, also to look at those prototypes and step back from them and say, what are you telling me about other games that I'm already working on? Where is a design question in its abstract transferable to another game that I'm working on? I think those are the two most important takeaways for me.
So, I mean, here is a question. You know, would you ever put out one of those like little teeny tiny prototypes that are always being bred to be slaughtered, like to the general public?
Yes, I have done. So I put out Rotwalden on Itch a couple of weeks ago, and I got this hazard check prototype, you know, but like I haven't written it up in a coherent, like it can't be consumed by another human. It doesn't make any sense right now. But it could. And I honestly, I think that these things are, you know, we played one of mine recently, The Floor is Lava, where like, you know, you sort of stepped away from the game going, well, I can see there's something there. It's total junk at the moment. It doesn't really work. I think it's fun the first two times you play it, but you know, you didn't necessarily see the fun on the first play, and that's fine. But I think there is, you know, potentially fun to be got out there. But I personally, I am planning to put those things out because they are just work. They are studies, you know, etudes that I'm putting out there.
So there's a good deal of splendid and like getting a behind the scenes look into Mike Hutchinson's creative process of things that might be coming up if people were to follow you on your Patreon, for example.
That is actually right. So the way that I've decided to do it is if you go through clicking the link in the description to patreon.com/planetsmashergames, basically anything that I put up on Itch, you get for free if you're a Patreon supporter. And I'm charging money for these prototypes because they take me work. You know, each one of these things will take me the better part of a week. They may be teaching me and adding value to something else that I'm doing, but in and of themselves, the point is that I want them to be coherent, playable things because that's how I playtest them. So actually, as of this recording, I've probably put up already a video of me sort of demoing Hazard Check and talking through the game and why it's got some of the things that it's got in and what I might be able to do with it. But I haven't put it up on Itch yet because the rulebook is currently garble.
Well, I think that if people want a sort of practical exercise follow along at home version of Rule of Carnage, they should go down and subscribe to your Patreon, the link of which is in the down below part, and you know, as these things come out, look at them. If these are things that you're learning from and you're figuring stuff out from, I assume that other people might find that they can learn from them as well and figure things out from them and push and pull them and pull them apart. And when people do go down into that link section, if they can hit on the like and subscribe, that'd be delightful. And, you know, give us a comment in the comment section. I'm sure that other people have had games that just wouldn't work and wouldn't fit into the shape that they're meant to go into. You know, how do you pull them back apart? Do you sometimes do a thing that you know is just, you know, a calf being fattened for slaughter in order to, like, test out a little tiny idea, like zoom in and fragment it out and, you know, figure it? Tell us these things more in the comments section and also in the Discord where we can have chats about those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But for now, from this conversation, I think it's a thank you and goodbye. So thank you and goodbye.
No, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.